turned up giving up Aleph, he's trying to describe the Av Nezek of shame. The Gemara says there are actually two different types of shame. There's what's called shame the Mechalya Karen and shame the Lo Mechalya Karen. Shame where the Karen with the Cheftzan is eaten up, it's destroyed completely, and shame where it's not destroyed. How do I know this second type of shame the Lo Mechalya Karen? The Gemara says that if the Pasuk had not said in Navi, Meshachi Regel Hashor V'Hachamor, which applies the Pasuk of Veshilach as Be'iro to Regel, I would have said that both Ubir and Veshilach apply to Shein, that Ubir is Mevar Lagamri, Ubir means Shein de Mechalya Karna, and Veshilach refers to Shein de Lo Mechalya Karna. But now that Veshilach refers to Regel, so how do I know Shein de Lo Mechalya Karna? Says the Gemara, I learn it from Regel, that since Regel is Lo Mechalya Karna, Stam Regel is Lo Mechalya Karna, so Shein as well, Shein de Lo Mechalya Karna is going to be Chayev as well. So we discussed at great length the Machlokas Rashi and Tosis. What does it mean, Shein de Lo Mechalya Karna? I want to clarify and build on what we said before we move on to the next sugya. Rashi said that Shein de Lo Mechalya Karna means that the animal ate from the Tevuah. He ate the Tevuah. It's sofo lachzav litzmach, but lo ketchila. It's going to grow back, but it's not going to grow back as high as before. So we tried to the best of our ability to describe this. We're not pharmacists. It's hard to explain. But basically, the simple pshat is that if you cut off the tvua, it will continue to grow. But at a certain point, it stops growing as fast as it grows initially. It grows once again. Every time you cut it off, it'll grow again, but it's not going to grow as much. So Rashi says that shein de lo mechalya karna. Why? Because it's osed litzmoach, the karen is going to be here, but it's just not going to be as great as it was before. The Tosfos says, what do you mean? Why is that shein de lo mechalya karna? The Bailam could have cut the tvua when it was so low, when it's what we call shachas, the low lying tvua. The behema ate it, but the Bailam could have cut off that tvua and fed it to their own behema. So why is that not shein de mechalya karna? So we gave two different answers to this kasha on Rashi. Some of the Achronim wanted to say that Rashi agrees that there is a shame to Mechalya Karen over here. There is a shame that you're destroying something that the Bailam could have used, Avada. But the reality is there's another type of shame, there's another Nezek. There are two Nezekim that are going on over here. One Nezek is the Nezek of Mechalya Karen, that the Bailam are not going to be able to use what the Behema ate. The Bailam can't use that for their own Behema. But there's also another nezek of shein de lo mechalya karna, that it is going to grow back, but lo ketchila. What does that mean, lo ketchila? So this pshat must be assuming that the Bailam taka would have cut it off, right? So the Bailam would have cut it off. They would have cut it off, so they are losing something. They can gain if they would cut off the shachas. So obviously, if the Bailam cut it themselves, then it will grow to its full potential. Because if it's not going to grow to the full potential, the Bailam would never cut it, because they want the better tvua. The tvua is worth more than the shachas, so why would they cut it? So this Pshat Lechora is working with the Birkas Avram's understanding that the reason why it's not going to grow ketchila is because the animal is ruining the produce. Because it's nibbling, because it's cutting it with its teeth, it's not going to grow properly. So if the animal wouldn't be the one eating, if the Bailam would cut it a clean cut, then it would grow to its full potential. So that's why the Bailam really would cut this down. Since they would cut it down, there really is a shein de mechalya karna here. But there's also a shein de lo mechalya karna, meaning it is going to grow back, but not as good as before. So there are two things to pay. There's the nezek of the tvur that you ate, that the behema ate, the shachas that the behema ate. But at the same time, right, the Bailam are losing that because they could have cut it down. But at the same time, even when the Bailam would have cut it down, it would have grown better. So the difference between what it could have grown to and what it actually is going to grow to is another type of nezek. That's the shein de lo mechalya karna that you're going to have to pay. According to this pshat in Rashi, there really are two nezakin over here. There's a shein de mechalya karna and a shein de lo mechalya karna. This is one way to answer Tosis Kash and Rashi. The Gilyan Alphas and others, you know, the Moshe Hurwitz and other achronim suggest that no. Rashi is assuming there's only a shein de lo mechalya karna in this case. There are some cases where there's a shein de mechalya karna, but here there's only a shein de lo mechalya karna. Doesn't sound like Rashi is explaining that there are Beide Sachen, they are both in Yonim over here. Sounds like he's saying this is a case of only Shein Delo Mechayekana. But why? Isn't Tosis Kasha a good Kasha? The Bailam could have cut it off. So say these Achronim. No, we're talking about a situation where the Bailam would not have cut it off. Bailam would never have cut it off, because if they cut it off, they're not going to gain as much. If the Bailam cut off the Tvua when it's Shachas, they're not going to gain as much, because the Tvua, it is going to regrow, but it's not going to regrow as high as it would have grown before. It's high, quantitatively, qualitatively, it's not going to grow as well as it would have grown before, so the Bailam are going to lose out, because if the Tvua grows to its full potential, quantitatively and qualitatively, they'll make a lot more money. So this is a situation where the Bailam Taka will not cut it now. It's not like those cases where the Bailam cut it off for Shachas to feed it to the Behemah. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a Tvua that they wouldn't cut up front. They'd wait, because then it'll be worth more. Well, if the Bailam are not going to cut it, so then there is no Shein D'Mechal Yekana. Shein D'Mechal Yekana is only if the Behemah ate something that now the Bailam are going to lose. They can't get that Tvua because the Behemah ate it. But if the Bailam wouldn't have cut it anyway, then that's not a loss. The loss is that it's not going to grow to its full potential. That's the only loss over here. So that's Taka, Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana, says Rashi, because the Karen's going to be here. It's just, it's not Asa L'Tzmo Ketchila. So that's what's called Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. Hey, two pshatim in Rashi, we're talking about a situation where there is a Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana, but there's no chazach, there's another type of Shein, or we're talking about a situation where the Bailam never would have cut it to begin with, so there is no Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana, there's only a Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. So the problem is, what was Tosfos thinking? But Tosfos didn't know this. They didn't know of these two possibilities. They didn't know that maybe there are two nezakim, or they didn't know that maybe there are situations where the Bailam wouldn't want to cut it themselves. There's only a Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. Tosfos argues with the fact that there is this extra nezek. I mean, Rashi is right, isn't he? That there's this extra nezek of Lo Mechal Yekana. So whether you have a Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana or you don't have a Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana, there still is this Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. So what were Tosfos thinking? So Rav David Pivarsky wants to suggest that Avada Tosfos knew what Rashi was saying. But Tosfos still asked the Kasha. Why did he ask the Kasha? Tosfos asks, the Bailam can cut it down, the Bailam can use the Shachas, so that's a Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. But there's this other Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. The answer is, Tosfos assumed that if the Bailam were to cut it down, meaning if it's Darko B'Kach for the Bailam to want to use this Shachas, or even like the second Pshad, it's not Darko B'Kach, but they have the ability to cut it down, they have the potential to cut it down. If they have the potential to cut it down, or they would cut it down, it's Darko B'Kach to cut it down, then the hezek that occurs as a result of the achila of the behema is defined automatically as Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. You can't say that there's a new type of nezek of Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana here. If the nezek occurs through an achila's behema, through any achila, through any nezek of Mechal Yekana, so automatically this nezek is not defined as Lo Mechal Yekana. If it comes to an achila, by definition it has to be Mechal Yekana. That's what Tosfos is saying. So if the owner would have used it, or even if they have the potential to use what the animal is eating, it turns out that the entire nezek, both the nezek to the current shachas and the nezek to the tefuah that's not going to grow to its full potential, that nezek occurs to a maisa achila. It all comes back to the same thing. It all comes back to the achila that the behemoth did. So Tosfos holds, you can't define that as a Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. The achila automatically defines it as a Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. The whole nezek is occurring through a maisa which is Mechal Yekana. It's destroying the keren. The bailam are darka mekach to take that keren, or at least they have the potential to take that keren. So the entire nezek, even the chelek shebo, even the chelek of the nezek that's lo Mechal Yekana, it's coming through an achila which is Mechal Yekana. Tosfos assumes that can't be called Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. That's a Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. I don't care what the nature of the nezek is. It's coming through a Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana. So by definition, you have to call this nezek a nezek of Mechal Yekana. So what is Shein D'Lo Mechal Yekana according to Tosfos? It has to be a case where there is no Kilei HaKaren B'chlal. That's his whole point. Tin Feperes L'Hana Asa. If the peiros get damaged through the hanah of the animal, but the keren is still there, it's nifsad, but it's still there. So there was no mechalia karna in this maisa hezek. There's no mechalia karna in the maisa hezek. Then you can define it as shein d'lo mechalia karna. But if the way that the nezek of lo mechalia karna is generated is through a maisa achila, which is mechalia karna, Tosfos holds that can't be defined as shein d'lo mechalia karna, because that's an achila. That's a shein d'lo mechalia karna. And Rashi, of course, disagrees. He says you can separate. First of all, he holds that the potential for the Bailim to derive benefit from the Shachas doesn't matter. The fact is, they have to derive benefit from it, but even more so, even if they would derive benefit, that's a Nezek of Mechaya Karna, but besides that Nezek, there's another Nezek over here, there's a Nezek of Lo Mechaya Karna, and you can distinguish between the two. But Tosis's Yesod is that if everything is generated through a Maisa Achila of Mechaya Karna, then everything has to be defined. This Nezek is a Nezek of Mechaya Karna, even if there's an element of Lo Mechaya Karna mixed in with it. It's important to point out that this whole sugya, the back and forth in the sugya, how do we know shein d'lo mechalia karna? What's the mokar? Right, the lashon of the Gemara is hashtad the kimna regel shein d'lo mechalia karna menolan. So we establish v'shilach is going on regel. How do I know shein d'lo mechalia karna? What does it mean? How do I know? No one was debating that shein d'lo mechalia karna should be chayiv. Avadi is chayiv l'shalim. It's important to keep in mind we're not debating whether shein d'lo mechalia karna is going to be chayiv or not chayiv. The reality is the animal is being mafsid the tfu of the bayit. Whether they're being mafsid in a way that the Karen no longer exists, it's kala, or they're being mafsid in a way that the Karen still does it, there's still a hefsid, there's still a nezik. So even if I wouldn't call it shein, the Bailam is still going to be chayav to pay, because they'll learn it from Mahat Sad, from the other Avos, from Bor and another one of the Avos. There's no question you're going to be chayav to pay. Whatever nezik your behemah does, it's shmirasan alecha, it's dark on the hazik, you're definitely going to be chayiv to pay here. What's the shayla in the Gemara? The shayla in the Gemara is, what's the av nezek of shein? That's the whole shayla. What's included within the av of shein? So the Gemara says that even shein d'lo mechalia karna is included within the av of shein. Right? I would have... Okay, let me say that better. If the shilach would not be going on regel, then shein d'lo mechalia karna would have been included within the av nezek of shein. Because I would have a pasuk uvir and a pasuk v'shilach, each one telling me different parts of the av nezek of shein. But now that I have the pasuk v'shilach going on regel, so how do I know shein d'lo mechalia karna? I know it from regel, learning it from regel. I'm not sure at that point that shein d'lo mechalia karna is part of the av of shein because it doesn't have its own pasuk. But certainly in the beginning, we're assuming that shein d'lo mechalia karna is going to be part of the av of shein. But the whole discussion, it's important to keep in mind, the whole discussion here is what's included within the av nezek of shein. What's included within the av nezek of shein? And that's what was bothering Rashi. That's why Rashi never learnt like Tosfos. Rashi says lo mechalia karna has to be this very strange case. Why? Because tinfa peres lahana asa, the Gemara later on says, is what? It's a told of shein. It's not an av of shein. So Rashi was troubled. Our Gemara is trying to figure out what the Av of Shein is. The Tinfa Peres Lahana Asa couldn't be Shein D'lo Mechalia Karna. It has to be some other case. And Tosfos concedes that ultimately Tinfa Peres Lahana Asa is the Told of Shein. But he thought that in the beginning, in the half of the Gemara, we thought that that could be considered part of the Av of Shein. And then we reject that and we say that, no, that Shein D'lo Mechalia Karna is really only the Told of Shein. Okay, question.
What are you not going to see?
Definition. We're trying to figure out what the definition is. Ultimately, we say that the told of shein is exactly the same as the av of shein. It has the same dinim. Yechayev nezek sholem, yepotah b'shus harabim. It's exactly the same. So there isn't going to be an afkamina. But in terms of havana, in terms of understanding of the psukim, the question is whether it's an av or it's a told of shein. Okay. So part of this discussion of Rashi and Tosis relates to this sheet of Tosfos, to this Gemara that we started reading yesterday. And that is, what taka is the told of shein? If this Gemara of shein d'lo mechalia karna, shein d'lo mechalia karna is focusing on the av, and tinfa peres lahana os is the told of shein, so we have to understand, so what does that tell me about the av? We're trying to define the av nezek, right? Each one of the avos nezikin. So we talked about Karen. What's the factor, the defining feature of Karen? Kavanasu lahazik, lav urche. Talked about all the different aspects of Karen. So now, to close this circle, before we go weiter in the sugya of Shein, let's try to understand, so what taka is the essence of the Av of Shein? Now that we have the Av, we have the Tolda, we see what the Gemara is saying in presenting Shein, let's look more deeply into the Rishonim and see what the Av Nezid of Shein really is all about. So to do that, we have to read the Gemara about the Tolda of Shein, because that gives us the defining features. Let's look at that sugya once again. We did read it yesterday, but let's see it again. At the two dots. Tolda the Shein Maihi. The animal does something lahana osa. That's the tolda. Maishna shein the yeshana lehezeku umoncho shmirasa olecha. Haninami yeshana lehezeku umoncho shmirasa olecha. What's the comparison between the tolda of shein and the av of shein? This hana yeshana lehezeku. So what's this case? Nischakcha b'kosa lahanaasa. What does Rashi say? Nischakcha b'kosa lahanaasa v'pilasa v'tinfa peres lahanaasa shenisgalgal aleihen kederach susim v'chamorin. Danu dumi d'shein v'yeshano lezeka. What's tinfa peres lahanaasa? Nischakcha b'kosa lahanaasa. We understand. The animal has an itch. It's scratching itself on the wall and the wall falls down. What's tinfa peres lahanaasa? So it says Rashi, nisgalgal aleihen kederach susim v'chamorin. What does that mean? What's the animal doing? It's rolling on the peris. For what reason? Is it gaining from the peris? Well, what's it rolling on the peris for? Kederach susim v'chamor. Pashut pshat is that it enjoys rolling on the floor. It's rolling around on the floor. And the peris happen to be there. So it's mazik the peris, derech the gilgal. It's nisgalgala on the peris. It's mazik the peris by being megalgal on the floor. That's Rashi. There's a hanah lehezeka, and the animal derives benefit because now it's rolling on the floor, it enjoys doing that. So that's the tolda of shein. Tolda of shein. It's not the av of shein because it's not b'derech achila, it's not eating the peris, but he's deriving benefit, so therefore it can be the tolda of shein. Comes the Rabbeinu Chananel on the Gilyan, and he interprets differently. Means that the animal has to go to the bathroom. If it didn't go to the bathroom, it would be bitzar. Therefore, the bailim achayev to pay, because the animal is deriving benefit. The animal, what's the benefit the animal is deriving? It's benefiting from the peris? It's benefiting because it has to go to the bathroom. And it would be bitsar if it couldn't go to the bathroom. Now it goes to the bathroom on the peris. It dirties the peris. So it's mazik the peris while it gets hanoa from the process. It's bitsar. It has to relieve itself. So when it relieves itself, it gets the hanoa, but the peris on nizok as a result of that. That's the Rabbeinu Chananel. Different than Rashi. Rashi says Nisgalgala Alein Kederach Susim Achamorim. The Rabbeinu Chananel says no. Osasat Tzrocheh. It's going to the bathroom, and it would be bitzar if it wouldn't go to the bathroom. So it's nene from that process. Different options. Are they really arguing? Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi are arguing. They give different options. It's interesting. Why would they give different pshat? So the Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Tosa Shans that actually disagrees. Quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel, and then the Tosa Shans seems to argue. The way the Shita presents it, the Tosa Shans seems to argue. There's one word in the Shita that certainly implies that the Tosa Shans is arguing with the Rabbeinu Chananel. Tinfa peres lahana osa, ki ilulei she'osa tzrecha ala peres, saisim itz da'eres, nimtze shenenis. Tikachayiv mipnei shenenis, Rabbeinu Chananel. Avul betosu shans kosfu, says the Shita. Could just be the avol is, he has a different pshat. Fundamentally, is he fundamentally disagreeing? Avul betosu shans kosfu v'zeh lashonam. Cherov tzal aperes lehitztanein olishkav lahana osa. Tosu shans explains that tinfa peres lahana osa means that the animal was rovet, it sat on the peres to cool off. The peres have some kind of a moisture in it. They're cooler. It's hot outside. But to lie down, lahana asa, it's getting hanoah from the peris because it's benefiting from the coolness of the peris. Dr. Tais Nishan Tavel Ein Lefarashi Tila Gololim De Eza Hana Osu Lahaperos Mishim Lo Hayusham. What Hana are the peris doing for the animal? If the peris weren't there, the animal would get the same benefit. The animal has to go to the bathroom, it's uncomfortable. So it goes to the bathroom on the peris. If the peris weren't there, it would still get the same hana, so then the ground would get dirty, but not the peris. It's not a din in the peris. Peris are not what's giving the hana to the animal. In fact, the Teis Hashanz, how is that the told of shame? How is that a told of shame? The peris don't do anything for the animal. The Chihai Mikrit Sroros told of the regular peric bays. What's more, Frek the Teis Hashanz, not only is it not a told of shame, I'll tell you what it's a told of. That's a told of regal. That's tsoros. Mm-hmm. What is tsoros? Tsoros is that the animal is walking and it kicks stones and the stones do damage. It's not a grum. Be careful. It's not a grum. It's not indirect causation. It's direct causation. Right? It's just not kocho of the animal. Kocho of the animal means the animal is mazik derech the regal. It's regal or something that's directly attached to the animal, but here it kicks the stone. Now the stone is doing the hezek. It's a little removed from the animal. It's still called, it's still the koach of the animal. It's the koach of the animal. It's directly the koach of the animal, but it's not the goof of the animal. The animal is not being mazik begufo, it's being mazik bekocho. So up to Taisa Shans, if you learn, like the Rabbi Hananel, that tin feperes lahana also means that the glolim are producing a nezek to the peris. That's not even shein b'chlal. It's not shein, first of all, because the animal is not deriving benefit from the peris directly. But secondly, it's a told of regal. It's tsroros. The nezek is occurring through the koach of the animal, not directly through the goof of the animals. That can't be shein. That can't be shein, says the Teis Hashanz. So he argues fundamentally, he argues vehemently for two reasons. Rabbi Hananel would have us believe that if the behema gets hana'ah from going to the bathroom, so that also can be viewed as the nezek of shame, because the peiros are being nizok as a result of the hana'ah that the behema is receiving. Comes the Tos Hashanz and says, no, that can't be. It's not deriving benefit from the peiros. What's more, that's only tzeros. How do you answer the Tos Hashanz's second kasha? Tzeros. That's not a good kasha. Tsuros. It's only mikoach the animal. It's not from the goof of the animal.
Why doesn't the rach say it's
tsuros? Why doesn't the rach say it's tsuros, right? That's the kasha. That's the Teis Hashanz says kasha. The rach thinks it's a told of shein. It's not a told of regel. It's not tsuros. So the Shita Mekubetzes addresses that, not here, but later on. Shita on Yud Chesam et Beis asked that kasha. And this is Rashi already discussed it, but it's a complicated sugya. It's an easier read in Shita. Shita on Dafir Chesam Ebeis quotes the Rimagash, Tshuva of the Rimagash. Harav Rav Yosef Halevi Ibn Magash Kosev B'Tshuva. V'zeh L'shanu. The Hayi Darmina, the Tinfa Peres Lahana Oza, told of the Shenhi, the Glolim Lachim Ninu Kmo Mei Raglayim Dinachtu leperos umetanfilehu. It's talking about glolim lachim. It's like a diarrhea of sorts, if you will. Right? It's very, very liquidy. Ve'aglolim mechuborim begufa migufa shel behema ve'ad haperos belisha yunefradim. It's like attached, right? Since it's coming out, it's very watery, so it's attached to the animal. The havale ki inyan nizik, the kaimalan chiberhu. Did you understand what the shita was saying there? The havale ki inyan nizik. Do you know what a nizik is? It's a printer's error. It doesn't mean to say nizik. It means to say nitzok. It's like a stream. Nitzok. Some of you may have learned gittin, beginning of the second parak. Nitzok, katafras. There are certain ways that you can have water flowing down a mountain, or water flowing out of a tea kettle, a nitzok. A nitzok is a stream. Zok the Rimagash, this is a case of a stream where the animal is going to the bathroom, but it's very watery, so the waste is attached from the peris to the animal. It's like a nitzok, which we paskin is like a chibur. It's a chibur. We treat it as though there's a chibur between the bottom and the top. It's like it's viewed as one unit. It's connected directly. The Haida Amina Behema Shehitila Glolim Li Isa, The case over there in the second parak is where the behema was matal glolim liisa. There they treated as tsaros. So that which we treated as tsaros, hava beglolim yaveshim ninu. If the glolim are dry, if it's not wet, if it's not watery, that's tsaros, because then when the glolim come out, they're separated, they're detached from the animal. If the glolim lachem, if it's watery, so then the glolim can be attached to the animal the whole way through. Right? As the animal is going to the bathroom, as it's doing the damage to the peris, those glolim are still attached to the animal. So they're still attached to the animal. That's called a nitzok. That's not tsaros. That's gufo of the animal. Even though, obviously, the glolim are not part of the gufo of the animal. But because it comes from the gufo of the animal, and it's still, so to speak, mechubur to the animal, because nitzok havi chibur, so we don't view that as tsaros. We view it as coming from the gufo of the animal. So that's not tsaros. That can be a told of shame. A told of rega. What's the case with the behemoth's matal glolim to the east, so we treat that as tsaros? That's where it's disconnected. Right? If the glolim are yavesh, if the glolim are dried, so then they're not connected to the animal when they come out. So they're not connected, that can be called service. Okay, so that could answer the second kasha of the Tosafot. Yes?
Why does that change the fact that you still don't need the parrot? You still
need the parrot. I said that answers the second kasha of the Tosafot. Excellent, Yosef. Good point. That's the second point of the Tosafot. The Tosafot had two kashas. Rabbi Nochananel said that this hatolas glolim is considered shame. So the second kasha of the Tosafot Shas was Shein, it's regel, it's tsaros. So no, the Shita Mekubet says, Yudches says, no, maybe we're talking about glolim lachim, where it's attached to the animal, so to speak. Nitzok is a chibur, so it's a chibur to the animal, then we don't treat it as tsaros. It's not kocho, it's really gufo. So that's not a problem. But the Tosafot Shas had another point. Tosafot Shas said, you can't say that hatolas glolim is a told of Shein, why not? Now, why is that incorrect, he says? Because what hanoah, ezo hanoah osula haperos mishe'im lo hayusham. What hanoah are the peros doing for the animal? That's the Tosafot Shas's first question. What hanoah are the peros doing for the animal? That's not just the detail in what tsaros are. That's fundamental. The Tosafot Shas's comment is fundamental, that he assumes that a told of the shein has to be what? There has to be a hanoah from the dover hanizok. The animal has to be deriving benefit from the peris themselves. Rabbi Chananel apparently disagrees. What does he assume? Rabbi Chananel is assuming that even if the animal doesn't derive hana from the peris themselves, as long as he's doing a maisa lahana osar, he's doing a maisa mahana, a maisa that derive, that it gives it benefit, that's also a total of shame. It's doing a maisa of hana, which as a result, hezek is caused to the peris. Rabbi Chananel assumes that can also be called a tolda of shame. Because it's a maisa of hanah. There's no requirement that the hanah has to come from the dover hanizok. Even if the hanah comes from the maisa itself, that also can be called shame. As long as the peris, as long as the item is nizok through that maisa of hanah. That seems to be the machlokas rishon. Shalom. It has to do an action. Without an action, there's no chi of.
Let's say it tries something and then.
What?
Let's say it tries something and then failed.
We're going to see. Take it slow. The Rajva talks about. Excellent. That's a good point. We're going to get to it. How does Rashi hold in this machlokas? So it's interesting. Tosafot Shas does not quote Rashi's case. Tosafot Shas does not quote Nisgalgal al haperes kederech susim v'chamor. Rabbeinu Peretz does. If you have time after Shia, look at the Rabbeinu Peretz. He has the cases of the Tosafot Shas, but he also adds Rashi, so that makes it much more complicated. But at least according to the Tosafot Shas, he leaves Rashi out. So it sounds like the Tosafot Shas holds that even Rashi wouldn't be a told of shame. The case of Rashi also wouldn't be a told of shame. Why now? Why do you think? Is Galgala ala Peretz kederech susim v'chamorim? But that's not as good as the Tosafot Shas's cases. The answer is no, it might not be. Because the Tosafot Shas is assuming the only thing that would be considered a told of shein is if the animal derives benefit from the parents themselves. So how's he deriving benefit? Because he's rav tza aleihem, he's lying down on them, sitting on them, and what happens as a result? He cools off. So by the sitting, through the lying, he's cooling off. He's benefiting from the parents themselves. The parents somehow have some cool texture to them, right? There's some moisture in them, probably. They're cooler than the surrounding environment. So the animal is benefiting from the paras themselves. As opposed to Rashi's case, the Telshans must assume that Nizgalgala al haperos k'daksus v'chamar, and the pshat is he wants to be Megalgal. The animal wants to roll on the floor. He doesn't want to roll on paras. In fact, if you ask me, I think rolling on paras is probably not such fun. Right? Rolling on something circular, round, it's probably not as smooth as rolling on the ground. I mean, I don't really enjoy rolling the floor, but I can imagine that even a child that's rolling around, if you can go to those places where it's full of balls and you jump into the ball, but you're not rolling, you're just playing in the balls. But if you want to roll on something, probably, I do have kids who play around in the balls. But rolling on something flat is probably much more enjoyable. The pshat is the animal wants to roll. He wants to roll, but the paras happen to be there, so he's going to damage the paras by rolling. But is he benefiting from the paras themselves? So the Tosa Shans thinks, no. He's not benefiting from the paras themselves. So it comes out interesting. The Rabbi Nachmanel and Rashi give two different interpretations of what Tinfa Paras Lahana Osa means, but according to the Tosa Shans, it really comes down to the same thing fundamentally. They're both claiming that even if the behemoth doesn't get hanah directly from the paras, it still can be a told of shame. Why do you think Rashi didn't give the Rabbi Nachmanel his pshat? If he agrees with the Rabbi Nachmanel fundamentally. Why not? Why do you think?
I don't understand why Rashi can't be read as Tosfos Shans. He just doesn't say that it was its own name, but he says he was still rolling on them. Themselves. It doesn't say he was rolling on the ground, he was setting Galea. Seemingly there was something different about rolling on the pyrus themselves than rolling on the ground.
Right, but the fact that the Tosa Shans adds that and doesn't bring up Rashi, doesn't say it the way Rashi says it, it sounds like the Tosa Shans is giving a different pshat. It sounds like it. I hear what you're saying. The truth is I'm going to prove to you from a different Rashi that he couldn't be agreeing with the Tosa Shans. But we're going to get to it. There's another Rashi that also seems to imply that as long as the behemoth gets hanah from the action, from the Maisa Hezek, that's enough to be called shame. I don't know if you realize what I'm referring to. Yeah, I think you do realize. I see from the smile. Okay. All right, so there's another Rashi that's pushing me in this direction. So even though Rabbi Peretz does add Rashi to the Tosa Shans, I think the Tosa Shans' reading of Rashi might be more correct. Far be it for me to take sides in the issue, but I'll show you that Rashi actually says it. And Rashi implies that as long as the behemoth derives benefit from the Maisa Hezek, then it could be called a told of shame. But why do you think Rashi didn't take the Rabbi Nachmanel's approach, he gave the other approach? Why do you think? It's poshut, right? No. The Tosa Shans had two kashas. Right? Even if Rashi agrees that you can call something a told of shame, even if the animal doesn't derive benefit from the paras directly, what's the problem? Rabbi Nachmanel's approach sounds like tzoros. So if you learn like the Shita on Yudches, great. Right? But maybe Rashi didn't want to learn like the Shita on Yudches. I mean, the Shita on Daf Yudches is making an assumption that if the animal is going to the bathroom and the Glolim Malachim and everything is flowing directly from the animal, since it's Nitzuk is a Chibra and Tum of Atara, it's a Chibra and Nezik. It's quite a brisk of art there, you know? I mean, this is talking about Nezek, that's talking about Tumah. You know, what's the connection between the two? So Rashi might say, there's no Chibra here. That's not coming from the goof of the animal. Even if you say that it is a Chibra al-Pidin, but would you say that the Glolim are goof of the animal? They're more like Tzoros. They're not part of the goof of the animal. So to define this case as Shane, Rashi probably felt Rabbi Nachmanel's pshat is Shever, because that's Tzoros. That's Tzoros. First of all, I don't even know if it's called a Chibra, but even if it is a Chibra, I'll pretend it's a Chibra, but it's still not the goof of the animal. The Hezek is occurring through something that's separate from the goof of the animal. So how can you call that Shane? That's Tzoros. It's told of Regal, it's not Shane. That's the horror why Rashi didn't want to learn like that. But fundamentally, Rabbi Nachmanel and Rashi could be agreeing and both disagreeing with the Tosa Shans. They might hold that you can call something a told of Shane even if the animal is just deriving benefit from the Maisa Hezek, not directly benefiting from the pairs. So what's the Gemara's... I'm sorry, yes, question.
Well, what if Rashi holds that really Torah only applies to Regel?
whoa, you just threw a monkey wrench into it. Yeah, that's a big discussion that we're not going to get to right now. Right? Some Rishonim hold that Tzoros only applies to Regel, and others claim that Tzoros can apply to other of us as well. It can be Tzoros by Shane and by Karen. Okay, we're not going to get to that now. That's a good question. But, so let's plug this back into the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? That the Chumra, there are Chumras for all of the Avos Nezikin, right? By Karen, the Chumra is Kavanos Alahazik. By Regel, Hezeko Motzoi. And by Shane, it's Yesh Hanoa Lehezeko. And each one of these Chumras tells me something about this Avnezik. That if I only had this Avnezik in the Pasuk, I wouldn't learn the other Avos from it, because I'd say this is Mocham. L'mashal, I'd say that if you hold Karen is Kavanos Alahazik, so I'd say Karen is Kavanos Alahazik. That's why the Bailam should be high for Karen, but for Shane, for Regel, maybe not. Kavanos Alahazik, there's more of a reason for the owner to have to watch the animal. So what's the Gemara saying over here? Right, Shane is Yesh Hano Lehezeko. So how does the element of Hano make Shane more Chomer? So Lechora, that's the Machlokas Rishon. Right, if I say that the animal is simply deriving benefit from the Maisa Hezek, it doesn't have to derive benefit from the Peres. So Yesh Hano Lehezeko Lechora is a Chumra that if the animal is in a situation, animal is located in an area where the Bailim should worry that maybe Lahana Osa, it'll do a certain Maisa, so then the Bailim are going to be more responsible to watch their animal. The animal is standing outside, there are a lot of fleas and bugs outside. It's normal for the animal to get an itch and to want to scratch itself. So the Bailim have to be careful that the animal is not going to stand next to the wall of the friend. Because if the animal is going to stand next to the wall of the friend, it might scratch itself against the wall. That's a dover matzli that the Bailim have to protect from. Right? The more the animal derives benefit from certain actions, the more the Bailim should have to watch. Protect the animal that it's not going to do the Maisa Hezek Lahana Osa that's going to cause the damage. So that's if you learn like the Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi. Let's say you learn like the Tos HaShan. So what's the Chumra of Shane? What's the Chumra of Shane? The Chumra of Shane is different. If you hold that the animal has derived benefit from the Peiros, then really what you're saying is the Chumra of Shane is that Shane is unique because it's really the only Nezek where the person, maybe we should better say, the mammon of the person took the mammon of the owner of the Dover HaNizok. Right? The Dover HaNizok belongs to someone else. So this behema took the mammon of that individual. It damaged the mammon. How did it damage the mammon? Right? It damaged the mammon. Didn't necessarily eat the mammon, but if it damaged the peiros of the other individual, one could say that that's more similar to what? Since it's damaging the peiros, it's almost like mamoni gabach. You can say that since the hana'a that the animal is deriving is coming from the peiros, so certainly when the animal eats, it's literally taking the mamon of the other individual. When the animal eats, it's taking the mamon of the other individual. But even if the animal is not eating, if it's deriving benefit from the Maisa Hezek, then it's taking that Hana'a from the mammon of the other individual. It's not literally taking the mammon, the peiros is still on the floor. But if Shane is all about Hana'a, so maybe Shane is Mochama, since there's a Hana'a to this Hezek, the animal is actually taking mammon from the other. It's taking a chelik of this mammon, the Hana'a Shebo. Right now that the mammon is nizog, so that hana'a was taken from that mammon of the other individual. So maybe I think that it's more pashut that you should be mechuyev to pay back that hana'a, to give back the mammon that you took. Just like if you borrow money from someone else, we spoke about that the chiyuv to give back a milveh is obvious. Mamoni gabach, you took my money, you got to give it back. It's obvious. By nezek we said it's not so obvious necessarily. Tosus in Bechara says it's a chiddush haTorah. Why? Because you didn't take anything, you just were mafsid. Yeah, but by Shane, you did take something. You took the hana'a shiva. The animal took the hana'a that's licked in that chefza, that's lying in that chefza. So he took the hana'a, he's taking the moment of the other individual. There I would think perhaps it's more chamer, it's more logical. It's not a halva, obviously, but it's more logical that the Bailim should have to pay back Because if your mammon, if your behema has the money of yenim, has the money of another individual, then you should have to pay that back. And these are the two ways of learning up the sukkah. Yes?
I would make behema rubbing against the wall be taking manah from the other baal?
The wall is worth a certain amount of money, right? Let's say the wall is worth $100. Now the wall falls down. What's the wall worth? A lot less than that. It might be worth zero, right? But let's say you can use the wood. So it's worth $50. Where did that $50 go? The hana'ah that the animal derived from scratching its back on the kosel, in a sense, is like taking $50 worth of that wall and putting it in that behemah. The behemah is taking through its hana'ah. You see, if the behemah is not nene, it's not taking anything. If it just does a maisa hezek, if we don't look at that as a hana'ah, right? If the behemah is walking, let's say, the behemah is walking and it happens to step on something and it breaks it, is it deriving benefit from that? No. So if it's not deriving benefit from it, it might be damaging, but it's not taking anything. If it's deriving benefit, then it's actually taking something because it is getting something out of the nezek. So one could say that it's more logical that you should have to pay for that, because whenever you take money of someone else, you have to give it back. So here too, this is a very special case of nezek, where your mammon, your behema, is taking money of someone else through the maisa hezek. So maybe you could say, misvar, it's more logical that you should have to pay for that. That kind of nezik. So I couldn't learn other avos nezikin from Shane because of that reason. Yes.
Right, that logic, it makes sense if like you get enough from whatever it is, and it's like normal way. Like if like the behemoth eat the piros, then that makes sense because that's in, like piros are meant to be eaten, not to be rolled around. And so like if he used the piros in its actual way and its normal way, then that makes sense because that means like you're actually taking the value because you used it. Like if you're just going around in it, you're not really using it in its natural way.
But it is a usual way. You know why? It's not the usual way to use the peros, but the animal is doing a natural thing. The maisa hezek is a usual maisa. And that's the key here. The key is, do the bailim have to watch this behemoth to make sure it doesn't do the maisa hezek? So if the maisa hezek is usual and it's something that gives hana to the animal, so then yes, the bailim are mechuyev to watch this animal. But why? Why? What's the reason for it? So according to the second pshat, we're saying it's not that the owner has to be sensitive to this because it has to be afraid that the animal is going to want to derive back. No! The reason why the owner is responsible is not because of he has more of a chi of shmira by shame. The second pshat is it's not that there's more of a chi of shmira. There's more chi of shmira by shame, but rather that the maisa hezek of shame involves lekichas mamon chaver. Through the hanah, the animal is actually taking value. It's taking the money. It's taking the money. Taking that money, it makes sense that you should have to pay back that. Which sheet this seems more mistabit to you, Rabbi Nachanal and Rashi or the Tosfos Shas? What do you think? What do you think? Silence. Come on. You got to think something. Eita.
I guess Rabbi Nachanal and Rashi.
Why?
Only because at the end of the day, you did do damage, so you have to pay back what you caused. Meaning the Chesh Torah, I mean, it seems like the Tosfos Torah, it's not that. It's not that you did a hanah, like you got hanah that caused the damage directly. Rather, that person is out whatever thing that they own.
Be careful. I'm not saying if you're right or not right, but you're trying to figure out what's the more mistaba shita that you should be chayiv to pay. I don't think anyone debates that. The Tosfos Shas agrees that if the animal scratched its back on the wall and it damaged the wall, you're chayiv to pay that. The question is, are you chayav to pay that midin shein or the mahatzat? Everyone says that you're chayav to pay. You caused the loss for something. There's a nezek here. But who says it's a told of shein? Hanah is what links it to shein. Now the shaila is, what kind of hanah does the behemah have to have? Does he have to have hanah directly from the dover hanizo, from the peris themselves? Or no, if he has hanah from the mice, that's sufficient. That's what we're trying to figure out. We're trying to figure out the definition of the av of shein. Shalom, right? It's not, there's no nafkamina l'maisa here. You're going to be chayiv anyway, right? wrong. Okay? Yeah, what? No?
You know? Because
of what?
If you hand the ma'asad in this case, maybe hand it to love.
Good, excellent. That's a very good point, right? So if we define it as a told of Shane, lehil chosein there might be an afkemin. Excellent point, Shalom. What do you think about that, Eitan? That's cool. You like that? Okay. Just try not to roll on the pears to make it cooler. Yes.
If we take away the chafta that the dehino was nazik and the kachklum, it's the same thing.
Okay. So you're saying, Dani, that the ikar is that you're nene from the peiros themselves. If you're not nene from the peiros themselves, how can it be called shame? Okay. So let me show you a Rashi and Tosfos that both assume that you can have a told of shame even if the animal's not deriving benefit directly from the peiros. It's not just my read of Rashi based on the Tosfos Shans. There's a Rashi later on, a Mudna Rashi, very strange Rashi. But if you read it carefully, that's what Rashi says. And then Tosfos as well, at the beginning of the second parak seems to say the same thing. Let's look at these collector's items have been pointed out by many mechabrim. So we're not going to get, as far as I know, I don't think we're going to get the Memches on the base. Probably. No, we're not going to get the Memches. So let's take a look at a Mishnah. A very interesting Mishnah. We'll see the Gemara. Let's turn to the Mishnah that Mem Zayin Amad Aleph. Let's say Reuven brings his shor to the chotzer of Shimon shelo b'shus without permission of Shimon. V'nogcho shoro shel balabais, or shenashorcho kavol shel balabais. And unfortunately, you know, Shimon has a pit bull there, or he has a shor, whatever, and it does damage to this shor that went in shelo b'shus. So potter, the balabais is potter because he doesn't belong there. Nogahu shor shel balabais chayev, but if he gored the shor of the balabais, then bechotzer nizik, then he'll be chayev. Reuven will be chayev. Nofal lebor of v'hivish meimav. Let's say he falls into a bor and the water in the bor become smelly, disgusting. So then chayev. Basically, if he does nizik bechotzer nizik, then he's going to be chayev. Haya aviv obino lesocho mishalim esakofen. Again, Reuven allowed his shor to go into the chotzer of Shimon. And now Aviv Obino, the father or the son, a person, right? The father, the son of the Balabais. But someone is in the boar when the shor falls in, and the shor kills them, Mishalim as a kofer. So then Reuven has to pay kofer. We know kofer is paid if a shor muad kills a human being, kills a Yisro, right? So if Aviv Obino are in the boar, and the shor kills them, so then Mishalim as a kofer. That's the Mishnah. Sounds like a very complicated Mishnah, a very strange Mishnah, but that's what it says. So comes the Gemara that Memchesim Beis makes the following statement. Hoya aviv obino lesocha misham sakofer v'amai, frak the Gemara, hatamhu. We know kofer is a din by shor hamuad, that only if a shor hamuad kills a Yisrael, then yachayiv kofer, the baila machayiv kofer, hashor yisoka v'agam ba'olav yumas. Mishnah didn't say that it's a shor hamuad. Mishnah said that walks in. Sounds like it's the first time. Sounds like it's tam. Amarav the muad lipol al bnei odom biboros askina. We're talking about a case where this shor is somehow muad to fall on bnei odom biboros. I can't explain. That's what the Gemara says. It's a strange case, but that must be, because if not, then it has to be a muad, because there's no tashlumei kofer if it's not a muad. So that's what must be talking about. He's muad lipol al bnei adam beboros. He's a muad, so that's why there can be a chiyuv of kol. At the Gemara, he hachi bar ketolahu. But if he's muad lipol al bnei adam beboros, he's a bar ketolah. So what's the case, right? What's the case that he's going to be a muad? He can't even get to muad. Amar of Yosef, the chazal yirok of enafa. Now we're talking about a case where he sees a vegetable, he sees some kind of food there in the bor, and he falls into the bor. He's muad lipol al bnei adam beboros, but he's not a muad to kill them, right? He's a muad to fall into boros that have people because he sees a yerek, he sees a vegetable. So he did this three times. He saw the vegetable in the bor. That's a pretty normal thing. He saw the vegetable in the bor, so he jumped into the bor to get the vegetable, and there happens to be a person there, so he kills the person when he jumps in. So that's not a normal. I mean, it sounds abnormal, but I'm saying, you know, it's normal for the shor to want to get the erek. So that's the case of Mu'ad, says the Gemara. So just one second. Mu'ad? Kofar? Isn't Kofar Karen? What's the Karen over here? He's jumping to go into the board to get the Yerek. So what's the Nezek here? What's the Mazik? So Rashi tries to help us here. Dechaza Yeroka Esev Al Piabor Ubolecho Vinofal. Dehach Nefila Lo Echave. He wasn't mechaveh to be nofel, right? It's the killing of the individual is shelo b'kavana. He wanted to get the yerek, so the nefila is not, he's not mechaveh to fall on the person. Umiu kofer shelo b'kavana meshalim b'nefila achrona. Once he's a muad, the nefila achrona, he's a shara muad to do this, he'll pay kofer. Kofer shelo b'kavana, he'll pay kofer. By Misa Shelo B'Kavon. So Frek Rashi, but how can you have a Kofer Shelo B'Kavon? We normally assume that Kofer is only B'Kavona. If the animal is a Shara Muad, kills people, B'Kavona, the last time also, the fourth time is also B'Kavona, so then the Baila Machayev Kofer. But if it's Shelo B'Kavona, what kind of Chiyuv Kofer is this? So says Rashi, no. If we're talking about Karen, that he killed through Karen, so then, there's no such thing as kofer shelo b'kavana by Karen. It has to be b'kavana. It has to be b'kavana. Quotes from a pasuk. It has to be b'kavana. Dafka, if the shor would have been b'skila, if it's b'kavana, right? So then, there's a chi of kofer. But if it's shelo b'kavana, it won't be. But this is not Karen, he says. This is not Karen. Afal gav de shelo b'kavana huvein asher b'skila. Achanami de chazi yiroka v'nofal told the shein he de meskavin lahana osa. This is not Karen. The animal, the Baila Machayev to pay, Baila Machayev made in Shein. It's Shein. The Mazik of the Behema is Shein over here. Because he looks at the Yerek, wants the Yerek Lahana Asa. It's Miskavin for the Hana. And that's why it's falling into the board. The Chiddush is that you can be Chayev Kofer. The shor can be chayav kofer. As long as he's a muad to do this pu'ula, even if it's not keren, he's a muad for shame. So you can have a muad for shame. If he's muad to fall into the bor to get the yerek, so he's a muad for the mazik of shame. And as a result of being a muad, now he's going to kill someone on that fourth time, the bailam will be chayav kofer for that hariga. That's what Rashi, that's pshat in the Gemara. If a taka would have been a chiv of Karen, then it doesn't make any sense that the Baila should be chayav kofer, because it's kofer shelo b'kavana. The shor didn't have kavana to kill the individual. Oh, but Shane is totally different. Shane is totally different. The pasuk that implies that kofer, there's no such thing as kofer shelo b'kavana, it's only talking about Karen. But by Shane, you can have a kofer shelo b'kavana. If the behema killed an individual after it became a muad for this particular nezek, then you can be chayav kofer shelo b'kavana as long as it's not Karen. What are we talking about here? The nezek of shein. So because it's a tolda of shein, you can have a kofer shelo b'kavana on the fourth time after the shor is amor. That's pshat in Rashi. That's how Rashi interprets this gemara, this cryptic gemara in Dafim Chesed and Beis. What's Rashi saying? After all the dust settles and we leave out all the complications of that gemara, what is Rashi saying? That if the animal sees a yerek on the esav, it sees an esav al pi habor, sees a yerek on the board, and it jumps into the board to get the yerek, and it kills someone. The nezek of killing the person, not the nezek of the yerek, the nezek of killing the person is viewed as a told of shame. How can it be viewed as a told of shame? The animal is deriving benefit from the person, it's eating the person. What kind of benefit is it deriving from the person? We're not talking about the nezek of the yerek. The yerek is hefke, maybe. Who cares? The animal is doing a maisa hezek lahana osa. It's miskaven to be nene by eating the yerek. But now it does a different hezek. Right? It does a hezek that it kills the person. It says Rashi, that's called a told of shame. How can it be called a told of shame? The answer is Rashi, because Rashi assumes that shame doesn't have to involve deriving hana'a from the davar hanizo. The Davar HaNizok here is a person, not the Yerek. So how can it be called Shein? Because the animal had Kavana to be Nene in falling into the bar. So even if it's not deriving benefit from the Dover HaNizuk itself, that can still fall under the rubric of the Told of Shane. You see clearly from Rashi like that. Because if you can only call something Shane if it's Nena from the Dover HaNizuk, it's ridiculous over here. How can you call it Shane? The animal is not deriving benefit from the Dover HaNizuk, from the person that he killed. That's the Nezik that we're referring to here. We're not talking about paying for the Yerik. Maybe it's a Yerik Shalhefka. That's irrelevant to us. The point is that he's mazik the person, that he's killing the person. How can that be called a told of shame? The answer is because if it comes to a maisa hezek of hana'a, if the animal wants to be nana, that can be called a told of shame. Yosef.
Does it sound like it fits regal rather than
shame? Regal? How's it regal?
Like you said, it's
a
normal way to go.
And go over, no, but it's jumping in lahana'os. Regal is a nezek that occurs when the behemoth is walking. And it breaks something without thinking of the hana. When the animal is walking in the street, it's not thinking about hana. It's just walking. Tedak. Shane means that the animal is doing something, doing a pu'ula, because it wants to derive benefit. So that's what's happening on Daf and Chesam Beis. The animal is doing something to derive benefit. It's just there's something else happens. A nezek happens as a result of that maisa. Michael.
I mentioned earlier there were being parrots combined. Or like mentioned Rashi when mentioning Tosfos Shans, so I was curious what Rabbeinu Peretz does with this Rashi.
Let's leave the Rabbeinu Peretz out because it's right. It's that's the problem. That's why I prefer the Tosfos Shans as read. Right. That's why I was going to give you Rabbeinu Peretz and then I decided not to, because I think it's confusing. When you put the two Rashi's together, it doesn't fit well. I think according to the Tosfos Shans, it fits much better. Yeah, I'm not sure what the Rabbeinu Peretz would do. Ami.
You read the Gemara on Daf Beis and Beis talks about Yesh Hana or Ein Hana, and we never.
We're going to get to that Gemara. That's the next Chalik. That's the Rashba. Yeah.
In this case, in the Beis, what's the Hana? Because he's trying to get the Yerek, but he doesn't end up getting it. He ends up just killing the guy instead.
But the Maisa has that the animal is doing is Lahana Asa. He's doing it for Hana. That's the Yisoda Shem. That he's doing the Maisa to derive benefit.
Even if he doesn't actually derive benefit.
Who says he doesn't derive? First of all, who says he doesn't derive benefit? Maybe he gets the Yerek. He falls on the person, and he gets his cake and he eats it too. Right? He could be deriving benefit. I mean, lahavdo. It's a terrible thing. Whatever the person was nifta. I'm not making light of it. But first of all, who says he doesn't get that? Why is that relevant? He's doing a maisa lahana asam. Doing a maisa lahana asam. Maybe that's enough to be defined as a told of shame. Jacob?
What's the significance for Rashi, the fact that he's done this three times before?
That's only to make him Chayiv Kofer, because the Chayiv Kofer is only by Muad, not by Tam.
Can you say for Shane that you can Muad without doing
anything? No. You can. It's Muad Mitchila, so you're Chayiv Nezek Shalem, but the Din of Kofer only applies if you do it three times, and now it's the fourth time. It's a special halach in Kofer, because it's a Xeris HaKosav. So it has to be that you're doing it after a Hadah, that Bailam are warned, watch your animal. It has this tendency of falling into burrows that have vegetables in them and killing people as a result of it. So watch him better. Right? The owner has to be warned in order for there to be a chiyuv kofer. This is Rashi. Tosfos also, at the beginning of the second parak, seems to assume that something can fall under the rubric of shame, even if the animal is not deriving benefit from the Dabra Nizuk, but just deriving benefit from the action itself. Because the Gemara quotes the famous machlokas of Sumchas and the Rabbanon. We keep on talking about Tzroros, Chatzi Nezek of Tzroros. That's the Rabbanon sheet. The Sumchas happens to hold that Chatzi Nezek is Chayv and Ezek Shalom. Chayv and Ezek Shalom. He doesn't learn like the Halach L'mosh Mistinei of the Chacham. Chachamim say there's a Halach L'mosh Mistinei. John Chayv Chatzi Nezek. Sumchas holds it. Chayv Nezek Shalom. So that's the Braisa. Gemara Nidzayin Tana Rabbanan Behema Muedes Lalo Kedarko L'Shabim Ketzad Behema Shenichnas L'Chotzer Anizik V'Yizika B'Gufa D'Archilucha B'Sar D'Archilucha B'Ukov She'Oleh B'Shlif She'Oleh B'Frumia She'Vefiyah B'Zug She'Vetzavara V'Chamar B'Masa'o. All the cases, right? The animal is mazik either with its foot, with its guf, with its hair, with the saddle, with the bit, with anything that's attached to the animal. Mishalim Nezik Sholim. Sumchas Omer, Tsroros v'chazir shayanova ba'ashba. Tsroros and chazir shayanova ba'ashba, the the chazir, the pig that's has its snout, right? It's rummaging around there in the ashba. V'hizik mishalim nezik shalom. Hizik pshita. Obviously, hizik mishalim nezik shalom. No, ela ema hitiz v'hizik. If the chazir was nova ba'ashba and it hits a stone and that causes a hezik, so then you're also chayav nezik shalom for that. So, fact the gemara tsoros mandocha shemayu. Who mentioned tsoros over here? Somcha suddenly says tsoros v'chazir shaynova ba'ashba. The heat is v'hizik is mishalim nezik shalom. Who mentioned tsoros? Chasur mechsra v'hachik etani. Tsoros ki urchayu chatzin nezik. V'chazir shaynova ba'ashba. The heat is v'hizik mishalim chatzin nezik. Somcha somer tsoros v'chazir shaynova ba'ashba. The heat is v'hizik mishalim nezik shalom. The gemara is telling us the din of tsoros, that price. That Sroros ki Urchayu was machlokas sumchas in the Rabbana, whether you're Mishalim Nezek Sholem or you're Mishalim only Chatzin Nezek, and Chazir Shayanova Ba'ashba is Doch Bezel Bezach. Same thing, Chazir Shayanova Ba'ashba, Vehit is Vehizik, is like a din of Sroros. So according to the Chachami, you'll be Chayiv Chatzin Nezek, according to Sumchas, you'll be Chayiv Nezek Sholem. Okay, this is what the Gemara says. Machlokas sumchas in the Rabbana, whether Sroros is Chayiv Chatzin Nezek or Nezek Sholem. And the Gemara also says, Chazir Shayanova Ba'ashba, Vehit is Vehizik. It has the din of tsaros because it's mamish the same as tsaros. So comes Taisus over here and says the Raskol Nover, Yikar Semena Chazir Miyar. Esav is compared to the Chazir. Yikar Semena Chazir Miyar, Mitargaminan Yinuvrine. That's Nover. The Chazir is Nover ba'ashba. It rummages around, right? It rummages around in the ashba. V'afal Gav says Taisus the ton of tsaros the regel. Ashmuina tsoros the shein de lahana also ka'ovin. What's bothering Tosis? What's a kasha? Avagav always means there's an underlying question in Tosis. So what's troubling him? Raisa has tsoros ki urchayu v'chazir shein over ba'ashba machlagasum chasin rabbanan. The Tosis says, what do you need two cases for? What do you need two cases for? Chazir shein over ba'ashba is tsoros. It means the chazir is rummaging around in the ashba, and it hits something, which in turn does a hezek. That's tsoros mamish. It's just okay. It's a celebrate. It's a special case of tsoros. Right? It's not that the animal is walking in the street and it kicks a rock. No, the chazir is nova ba'ashba. It kicks a rock. It hits a rock with its nose, and it causes it to do damage. But what's the difference? Ma'ishno zemizeh. It's tsoros. They're both tsoros. So why does the Gemara have two cases? It says tais. I'll tell you why. Because first the Braisa gives Tsoros the regel. Tsoros ki urchayu means Tsoros that's generated by the regel of the behema. And then the Braisa says, and also Tsoros the shein has the same halacha. Tsoros the shein de lahana osel miskaven. The chazir is miskaven lahana osel. That's Tsoros the shein. Comes the Braisa and says, Tsoros the shein has the same halacha. Machloka sumchas in the rabbana, whether you're going to be chayiv chasin ezek or chayiv nezek shalom. L'chor Tosis is a pella. That's tsoros to shame. What's tsoros to shame? When the chazir hits the rock, whatever it's hitting, that's in turn going to cause damage. It derives benefit from that rock. It's nova ba'ashba. It's rummaging around in the ashba and it kicks a stone. Isn't that regel also? Isn't that regel also? What's Tosis saying? Chazir shahay nova ba'ashba tsoros to shame. Why should it be called Tsoros the Shein? Why is it any more Tsoros the Shein than Tsoros regular Tsoros? Where the animal's walking in the street and it kicks the rock. Here also, the Chazir is Nova Ashba. It hits something which hits something else, and that's what causes the Nezek. Why is it called Tsoros the Shein? What's the answer? Lahana Oson is Kavin. That's the Yisod. The Yisod is the Chazir is Nova Ashba. If it's doing a Maisa Lahana Oson, it's not just walking ki or chayhu, as the Gemara says. It's not just walking normally. And as a result of walking normally, somehow it kicks a stump. No. It's doing a pa'ula lahana asa. It has in mind to derive benefit. It's enjoying. You know, chazer. It likes to play around in the mud. It's rummaging around. It's rolling in the mud. The chazir rolls in the mud. It's misgalgal in the mud, like the susim and the chamor. Like the chazir. The chazir roll around in the mud. So it's enjoying that. It's enjoying the rolling? Yeah, it's enjoying the rolling. So if it creates its tsoros through that rolling, that's not tsoros de regel. Tsoros de regel means it's walking ki or chayu. It's walking in the normal way without trying to derive benefit. and it hits Troros. But the Chesu Chazir Shainova Ba'ashba, it's Nova Ba'ashba Lahana Asa. So that's called Troros to Shain, says Tosis. From Tosis, you see as well that the Toldo of Shain is not a function of the animal actually deriving benefit from the Dover Hanizel. There's no Havamina that Tosis holds that the Chazir is deriving benefit from the Dover Hanizok and the Ashba. It's not deriving benefit, he's deriving benefit from being Nova Ba'ashba. The Maisa is bringing him Hana. That as well can be part of the Tolda of Shame. So we have here, we have Rashi and Tosis, Rabbi Nachman, all seem to take one approach, that Yesh Hana Lezeka means that the animal is deriving benefit from the Maisa Hezek. Not necessarily from the Dover Hanizok, but from the action. And as a result of that, there's a Hezek that's being created. The Tosa Shans disagrees fundamentally. Tosa Shans says that something can be called a Toldo of Shein only if the animal is actually deriving benefit from the peros themselves. If he's not deriving benefit from the Dover Hanizek, then it can't be called a Toldo of Shein. So the final point that we have to work on is what one of you, I think, Ami brought up? The Gemara on Dav Beis Amid Beis. Gemara on Beis Amid Beis leads the Rashba to talk about the case. Let's say the animal tries to get Hana, let's say it tries to eat, the item falls out of its mouth. Is that considered Hana? Is it not considered Hana? What's the din of Neshicha? Neshicha, biting. So the Gemara says it's a Tolda of Keren. The Gemara asks, but isn't it a Tolda of Shein? So what's the answer to that Gemara? How does that relate to Nochash? Right? Does Nochash get Hana? Does it not get Hana? So all of this might hinge on the questions that we're, on this question that we're developing over here. So look at some of the other makaros and we'll continue.